We're on a theme. Can anyone tell me what the theme of this year is?
Go.
So tonight's theme is which way to go. Which way to go. Our focus scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 7. So you can be finding that if you wish. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 to 14. The truth of the matter is there's so many choices that we have to make in a day. Every one of us has to make a choice. From the moment our eyes open, we are having to make choices. One of the things I'm quite glad about fasting is that I don't have to make a choice as to which breakfast cereal or breakfast food I have in the morning. It cuts down a lot. I said to Joe, you know, we should be fasting a lot more because it cuts down on the amount of time it takes in the morning to get the bowl, to choose what you're having, to make what you're going to eat. It's just far easier just to get up, do your quiet time, get dressed and go. But there's so many other choices, aren't there, to make? I mean, I'm sure this morning when you woke up, you had to make a choice as to which clothes to wear. There's all sorts of... Well, maybe not. There's all sorts of choices that we have to make in a day. Life is full of choices. Choices as to where we go on holiday, or what kind of car we have to buy, or all sorts of different things. I know that I do the shopping in our house. Generally speaking, I go to Tesco's and do our shopping. There are other places to do your shopping, I know. I like Tesco's. And so I go to Tesco's to do our shopping. And when I go to the shops, there's just such a choice, particularly on the cereal aisle. I've mentioned cereals 3-4 times now already, and I've only been going, that's because I love cereals. But in the cereal aisle, there's like a plethora of choices, aren't there? Which one do you choose? And I could spend a long time choosing the particular choice of cereal that I want. There's 10 different types of baked beans, for goodness sake. And which ones do you choose? Do you go for Heinz? Do you go for HP? Do you go for the Tesco's own brand? Which choice of baked beans do you take? There's a variety of different kinds of tea, for goodness sake. Do you have normal black tea? Do you have rooibos tea? Do you have flavored tea? Which choice and which coffee do you have? There's such a choice, let alone the hundreds of different shampoos that you can buy. And of course, I have lots of two choices to make of that one. Why are you laughing? Everything involves choices. Going to dinner isn't as simple, really, is it? I mean, unless you go to a place that do one thing and do it really well. And I tend not to go to those places. I like to have a choice. I like to have a variety. And you get sitting down and you get given a menu and there's so many different nice things to choose from, isn't there? I mean, especially if you go to really nice restaurants. So many, and then, after you've chosen the main course, whoa, the best is yet to come, because you've got the dessert. Which dessert do you have? Do you have treacle sponge? Do you have sticky toffee pudding? Do you have meringue? Which do you choose? It's a bit of a nightmare, especially for me. I love dessert. So it's a bit of a nightmare. Choices, choices, choices. We all of us have to make choices. Some of you have had to make some pretty major life-changing choices recently. Choices. But you know, there's only really two choices that we need to make in life. And they are really only two roads in which we can go. And so I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. There's only two roads to go. So let us read. Enter or go through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd speak through it, and your Holy Spirit would come and minister to our hearts and change us, transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a picture, if we could put that picture up. You can see this picture. I actually shared it with a few of the leaders recently. It's a great picture, I think. Hopefully you can see it. There's two gates with two different roads. One that says welcome, and there's lots of things going on, lots of people walking through, and then there's another one, the narrow gates with a narrow path. I'd like you to hold on to that picture. We're going to flip back and forth, Trevor. So make sure you kind of got that ready to flip back as I share. But I want you to keep in mind that picture of, first of all, of the two gates. And there's three choices that I want to present to you this evening. The first one is this. The first choice that we have is, which gate are you going to go through? Notice that Jesus gives us a choice. Jesus gives us choice. He gives us a choice as to which gate to enter. And in that picture, we have two choices. We have the wide gate, the one that says welcome. I'm calling this Satan's gate, Satan's way. The gate is wide, and it's easy to enter. There are many people that go through it at any one time. When we go somewhere, we would naturally choose to go through a wide gate versus a narrow gate. Plenty of people can go through the narrow gate. Not many can go through the wide gate. And so because it's a wide gate, many people choose to go through it. It's attractive. The wide gate, if we can go back to the picture, the wide gate is attractive because more people will choose to enter through it. It's attractive. It's welcome. It's much nicer to walk through the wide gate. More people can get through it. You can take things with you. There's a nice red carpet. There's a welcome. There's music playing. It's attractive. It's wide. Therefore, you're able to take anything you want through that gate. You're able to take your stuff. You're able to take the things that pleasure you. Because through the wide gate, anything goes. Anything goes. You can take what you believe. You can take what you feel and how you feel. You can do what you want, how you want, and no one's going to challenge you. Anything goes, literally, through the wide gate. It's got sex, money, addiction, pride. Anything really that tickles your fancy, that's the wide gate. The wide gate has it. On your journey through life, many will want to take as much baggage as they can. And through the wide gate, you can take it. You can take your stuff with you. You can take whatever baggage you want through the wide gate. It allows for it. Choice two, we've got the narrow gate. Which gate are we going to choose? We've got the wide gate, we've got the narrow gate. And I'm calling it this Jesus' way. The narrow gate doesn't have room for anything but you. If we can look back at that picture. It has no room for anything else other than you. You must leave all your bags behind. Jesus tells us to take up our cross, to follow him daily. We can carry our cross through the narrow gate. It implies that our agenda is one of Jesus's. This gate has only room for us to take our cross with us. There's no room for the things of this world. There's no room for the pleasures that we enjoy. There's no room for unforgiveness. There's no room for selfishness. It's all about Jesus. The narrow gate will not be as easy to walk through it. Jesus tells us that we must strive or put every effort into entering through the narrow gate. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, in the ESV, it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Strive to enter. Not many choose to go through the narrow gate. If you enter through the narrow gate, if you make the choice to enter into the narrow gate, Jesus must be first in your life. So the first choice is, which gate do you go through? The wide gate, which anything goes. You can take whatever you want, have whatever kind of relationship you want, or the narrow gate, which is the way of Jesus, where you leave behind the things of this world. You leave behind your burdens. You leave behind all your stuff. And you enter through it. The second choice is this. Which path do you go on? The wide path is the one most traveled. It is the easy path. As I said before, you don't have to do anything to walk on this path. You just have to go. You are welcomed, if we could put it back. You are welcomed into the wide gate, onto the wide path. You don't have to be a certain way. You just go through. You can take whatever you want through the wide, on the wide path. It's easy. The path is wide because there are many ways to lead to destruction. The path is wide because it takes all things. You can take whatever you want on the wide path. The wide path is well traveled. It has no rules. It has no restraints. It is a path that has everyone doing right in their own eyes. You can do whatever you want to do on the wide path. You think you're doing right on the wide path. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to the man, but his way leads to death, but his end is the way to death. You see, we think we're on the right path by going on the wide path. We think we go through the right gate, going through the wide gate. But in the end, this wide path, the wide gate, has no rules, no restraints. Anything goes. We even think we're doing right by going through it. The wide path is the one that most people will be on. It's the one that most people want to choose because it's the easy path and everybody wants the easy road. It's the one where most people are encouraging you to go down, where peer pressure is the order of the day. As you stand on that fork to make the right choice as to which one, there are people encouraging you onto the wide path because everybody else is doing it. Then you can do it as well. The majority of people will follow the wide path and they will make fun of you if you do not. The majority is not always right, however. The majority of people will take you on this path because they do not want to give up anything. So therefore, because they choose not to give up on anything, they want to go through the wide path because it means they can take whatever they want through the wide path. There's no giving up on the things that they struggle with. Addictions are welcomed. You don't have to give anything up. It's welcome. On the wide path, people are blinded to the truth. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. On the wide path, people have been blinded to the truth. Let's jump over to the narrow path. The narrow path is difficult to walk because it takes discipline. It means we have to make a choice to live a different way to those that follow the wide path. It may mean that we have to alter our behavior. It may mean that we have to do things differently. It will mean we have to follow Jesus and follow his word. It requires us to allow Jesus to change our life, which in turn will cause us to change our behavior. It's about being radical. The last time I was here, I talked about being a radical follower of Jesus. Going through the narrow gate onto the narrow path requires us to be radical for following Jesus. It means to deny ourselves. It means to die to self. It means to carry our cross. It takes sacrifice on the narrow path. It means to do things, maybe the hard way. It means journeying on the ups and the downs. It means endurance. It means keep on keeping on. Even when it gets tough, even when it gets lonely, as it will. Though Jesus is with you, there are not many others on that road. It's a road filled with rejection. Many people will reject you from going on the narrow path. It's a road filled with sacrifice, where we have to give up, where we have to deny. One of the things that we're doing, those of us that are doing the fast, the first point is about denying self. That's what fasting is, about denying self. If we're truly following Jesus, we have to deny self. If we truly walk on the narrow path, going through the narrow gate, we're called to deny self. It's costly on the narrow path. Many people will not choose this path because it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not attractive. It's costly. It's difficult. It's hard. It makes you unpopular. You get called names. It's difficult on the narrow path. The third choice, our destination, the wide gate. Jesus says the wide gate leads to destruction. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19 in the ESV says this, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." We don't like to talk about hell much, do we? In fact, I can't remember the last time I ever heard a sermon on hell, to be perfectly honest. But the truth of the matter is, hell is real. I don't really know what it's like. We have some glimpses in the Bible. I've never been there. Never met anybody that has. But the truth of the matter is, it's a place where God isn't. And whatever it is, and however it's described, a lake of burning fire or whatever it may be, it is a place where God isn't, and that's not a place I want to be. And it's not a place I want any of you to be. It's not a place I want my family, who are not yet saved, to be. But it's a reality. Just as much as heaven is a reality, it's a reality. I had to do a funeral for someone this last week, and we weren't certain whether that father had actually given his life to Jesus. We weren't certain. And I was not going to make empty words, empty gestures as to say, you know, he's gone to heaven and all that. Because we weren't certain. We have a hope. And we none of us know what goes on in the latter few moments of someone's life. And I talked about that. Talked about the hope that we have in Christ. But the reality is, a life without Jesus leads to destruction. On that path that we saw earlier, the end of that pathway, you can see, is hell. There's the fire there, which is representative of hell. You see, the wide path, the destruction, sorry, the destination of the wide path is hell. And if we trust in the word of God, the reality is, without Jesus, without you giving your life to Jesus, without you making the right choice to go onto the narrow path, to go through the narrow gate, the destination for the wide gate, the wide path, is hell. This is not my words. This is what it says here. But then there's the narrow path that leads to life, that leads to heaven. Jesus says in the message in John chapter 14, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will also take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. The truth is that if we choose to go through the narrow gate onto the narrow path, which is choosing Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, and we live our life for him, the truth is that Jesus is preparing a place for each one of us. A place in heaven. He's getting your mansion ready. It's taken me a few months, not me at all, it hasn't taken me any time at all, but it's taken Joe particularly a few months to get our home ready as we've just moved into a new home. It's taken us a few months to do that. And it's looking pretty good, looking pretty nice. The truth of the matter is, Jesus is preparing a place for you, preparing a mansion for you. And he's been preparing it for the last 2,000 years. Wow, what a place it's going to be. What a place we have prepared for us, ready for us. If we choose the narrow path, to go through the narrow gate, to choose the life that Jesus has for us. So my questions are, which gate will you or have you gone through? Which road will you or have you gone on? Which destination will you end up in? Could I have my water, please? It's a challenge that each one of us must ask ourselves. Have we chosen to go through the wide gate onto the wide path which leads to destruction, to hell? Or have we chosen to go through the narrow gate onto the narrow road which leads to life, and life to the full, and ultimately heaven? Let's jump a few verses to verses 21 and 23. Jesus says these words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. There's a word that's often said in the Psalms, and it's Selah. I've always been taught that that word means just think on it. Just think on it. So Selah, these words. Think on them. Because for me, as a pastor, these words keep me awake at night. Listen very carefully to me. Jesus is not speaking to the world here. It's very important, by the way, and I've been saying this a lot this week. Always looking at the context of Scripture. Amen? Jesus, who is he talking to? He's talking to the religious people. He's not talking to the pagans, the world. He's talking to the religious leaders, people who are upright, people who followed the law, people who did the right things, devout people. But they were deluded into what they thought was right. And so hence, Jesus is saying these words. Just salah these words, just think of them. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles? But I will declare to them, I never knew you. These people were devout. These people had religion. These people had chosen, many of them, to go through the wide gate on the wide road, which led to hell. Hence the reason why Jesus is giving them this picture. And now Jesus is saying, not every one of you who call me Lord, Lord, not every one of you will enter heaven. Not everyone who prophesied, who cast out demons, who performed miracles, will get to heaven. It's possible to fool ourselves that we're okay. It's possible to fool ourselves that we're okay and that we're on the road to heaven, when the truth of the matter is we are not. It's possible to be deluded in thinking, I'm okay, Jack. I said a prayer when I was 12. I tick that box, when the truth of the matter is we're not okay. It's possible to delude ourselves in doing all the right religious things, saying all the right religious words, coming on a Sunday and maybe waving your hands up in the air and singing the songs and all that kind of stuff, when the truth of the matter is you're not even saved. Telling people you're okay when you're not. Because church, being a follower of Jesus, going through the narrow gate onto the narrow path, it's so much more than saying a prayer. It's so much more than going to church. It's so much more than living a good life. It's so much more than going to a Bible study. It's so much more than going to a prayer meeting. It's so much more than paying your tithes. It's so much more than ticking the box and saying, I'm okay, Jack, I've been to church. Or I've given my tithes, I've sown my seed, and so I'm okay, it's okay. It's so much more than this. And yet I believe we as the church, and I'm not just talking about Ashland, I'm talking about the church generally speaking, we have cheapened the gospel to say, you just have to say a prayer and then you're saved, when that is not the truth. And I am as guilty of that than anyone else. I've even questioned whether it is right for us to be giving people an opportunity at the end of a service to say a prayer. Because I don't want to give people false hope. I don't want people to think, I've said a prayer on the whatever date it was in Ashendon Elim, so therefore I'm okay, when the reality is it's so much more than just saying a prayer. So many people have thought the truth is, I say a prayer and I'm saved. And then they go out and live their life as they wish. Go and do what they want. Sleep with whoever they want. Cheat with whoever they want. Do dodgy deals with whoever they want. Live immoral lives. Watch pornography. Say the wrong thing. Swear. Drink alcohol. Do drugs. Cheat on people. Gossip about their neighbor. Spread rumors. And they think they're okay because they said a prayer, because they're saved. And it's a lie. You're not fine if that is what you believe. But yet we so often have preached that cheap gospel. There's a man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In fact, I think there's a film coming out about his life. And he wrote a book. And in it, he talked about cheap grace. And the fact that we as the church think we're saved because we say a prayer, but then we live our lives according to the way we want to live. Cheap grace. As opposed to costly grace, which cost Jesus his life. I think the book was called The Cost of Discipleship. You see, because there's a cost to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The cost is going through the narrow gate onto the narrow road. It's about making a choice. I'm okay as long as I tithe. I'm okay as long as I do this. No, you're not okay. And if you're here tonight, and you say to yourself, I'm okay because I said that prayer 3 years ago or 30 years ago or however long ago it was you said that prayer. Or you're sat here today and you think it's okay, I'm okay because I go to church every Sunday. I'm okay, I pay my tithes, I put my money in the bag tonight as it went around, therefore I'm okay. Or I go to the men's meal on the first Monday of the month or whenever it is, I'm okay. Or I go to Aspire, I'm okay. Or I go to the prayer meeting, or I'm okay. When you're not fine or okay, being a follower of Jesus is more than saying a prayer. It's about following Jesus. It's about answering his call to come and be discipled. And there are many who think they're saved when the truth is they're not, because they're not following Jesus. They're not loving Jesus. Oh, they love the church. Oh, they love the church. Oh, they love the songs. Oh, they love the Bible study. Oh, they love this, or they love... It's not about loving the church. It's about loving Jesus. I'm not saying the church isn't important, because it is. It's part of being a disciple. But that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. It's about following Jesus. Not following the leader of the church or following this person or that person. It's about following Jesus. So we must choose. We have a choice. Some of us may be feeling uncomfortable this evening. Good. Good. I'm not here to make you feel comfortable. The leadership are not here to make you feel comfortable. We need to hear the truth. I need to hear the truth. Upon entering the promised land, Joshua told the people, let me read to you from verse 14 of Joshua 24. He says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors beyond Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me," I love this verse, "but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let me tell you this. There's no middle gate. There's no middle road. There's no middle destination. There's one gate and one way to go. There's one gate and there's one way to go, and his name is Jesus. And he calls you and he calls me to follow. He calls you and he calls me to go, to enter through the narrow gate, to go on the narrow path which leads to life. As opposed to the wide gate and the wide path which leads to destruction. And it may be the life that everybody else is choosing, but it's not the life that Jesus wants for us. It's not the life Jesus wants for you. John 10:10 says this, "I have come," Jesus says, "I have come that you may have life, and life in abundance, life to the full." And so the choice that we have is, which way do we go? We have a choice. He calls you and I to follow him. He calls you and I to carry our cross, to live a life of sacrifice, to live a life of denial of self, of denying oneself, denying the pleasures, denying my way, to choose a life of living for Jesus. He calls us to go through the narrow gate onto the narrow road, and at the end enjoy the final destination. Heaven is waiting for you. And the choice is laid before all of us. Which way will you choose to go? Let's pray. Remember, this word was spoken to religious people. People that thought they were okay. I'm just going to wait for people to move around. Because this is a moment for everybody, whether we're part of the worship team or not. Whether we're sitting on our seats. This is a choice for all of us. Maybe the Holy Spirit has challenged us tonight that actually we may have chosen Jesus, but maybe we went back onto the wide path. We may even have said the prayer many years ago, but the reality is we're doing and living a life anything but following Jesus. And today, tonight, maybe God is challenging you, speaking to you about getting back on the right path. Maybe you've been living life selfishly, living life for self, choosing to do the things that you want to do because it's just what you want to do. And the Holy Spirit has challenged us tonight, challenged you to get on the right path. Go through the narrow gate onto the narrow path and choose Jesus. The choice that Joshua put before the people of God to choose this day to whom you will serve. Father, I pray for everyone here this evening. I pray, God, for those that have chosen in the past your ways and yet have bounced back on to living their way. I pray, Father God, for those who maybe said a prayer but have not followed through on their walk with Jesus. I pray tonight for those that have stood on that fork in the road with the choice to make. Which way do I go? I pray tonight, God, they would choose Jesus. They would choose to follow Jesus. Father God, I declare tonight in this house that as for me, this household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and this household, we will choose to follow Jesus. We will choose to follow, to go through the narrow gate onto the narrow path. And one day, one glorious day, we will receive the words, welcome in, come into my home, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we thank you that you have given us life and life to the full. Lord, it may be a life of sacrifice. It may be a life of choosing the difficult way. But Lord, I'm thankful that I have chosen Jesus. I am thankful for the life that you have given to me. I am thankful for the blessings that you've lavished upon me. I thank God for you, Lord Jesus. I thank God that you're leading me, that you're guiding me, that you're protecting me, that you're there for me on this narrow path. And Lord, even though at times it may feel like this narrow path is a dark path, you're leading us through that valley of the shadow of death. You're leading us through the difficulties, for you're with us. You're with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray, God, for a certainty in our hearts. A certainty of their faith in you. As they choose to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. May we not just be hearers of your word, but God, may we be doers as we follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Stand.
Says that you are near. You are near. We thank you, Father God, that as your word says, you never forsake us. You're there with us. Thank you, Jesus. That when we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to go through the narrow gate, when we choose to go onto the narrow path, you are with us. You are there to strengthen us. You are there to help us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we choose. We choose to follow you. We choose to make you our first priority. Before self, before anything else, before anyone else, we choose Jesus. We choose this day to follow Jesus. We choose this day to serve Jesus, to make you our first priority, to make you our number one. We choose to follow Jesus. We choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Shall we say the words of the grace together as we close this evening? So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.